Just had an incredible zeppole over the weekend, a great pastry, Italian pastry at Les Delices Lafrenais. Check them out, the best cannoli, lobster tails, best desserts and cakes in the city, including the strawberry shortcake, which was a hit at my friend's poker night the other night. It's Les Delices Lafrenais. Want a fantastic night out with your friends, significant other, co-workers? Go to BatonRouge.ca to find out the closest restaurant to you, including number 30 coming to LaSalle in the Montreal area very soon. It's Baton Rouge Grill House and Bar. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of paid sponsors.
This is the Drive-By with Freeway Frank.
The Drive-By Podcast, brought to you by Own Space. Episode 172 of the Drive-By Podcast, first of two pods this week. This is the Tuesday edition, and I'm Freeway Frank. Hope you're doing great. I've got a few bombs I want to drop. No, I am not the pilot of Enola Gay on that gray day that changed the world, nor am I comparing dropping actual physical bombs to figurative bombs. And it's not like the stuff that I'm about to talk about. You don't already know my feelings on these topics. You do. I don't have to say much. All I have to do is talk about it. I don't have to say, I told you so, even though I just said, I told you so. And I don't have to tell you, I told you so, because if you're here, I don't need to tell you, I told you so, because we, as a collective, you and I, on the other side, we've known this. We've known this all along. So why this would be shocking to us? No, but everyone else catching up. Yeah, catching up, yes. These are big craters. Big craters they're falling into because they thought they were following the correct guidelines. They thought they were following science and fact. And now as these truths drop, these bombs keep dropping. It's like a bunch of bombs being dropped at the same time. Boom, 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 boom. A lot of people don't know how to handle it. So what do? They close their eyes. Close your eyes. That's it. They look the other way. I always mention this. I always talk about this. But I can't not bring it up. So I'm going to bring up three things. And these three things that I'm about to mention, I don't have to say anything after I mention these three things. There might be silence in your room when I say these things. You may smile or smirk, laugh a bit, have a conversation with somebody else that feels like you and I. Or maybe just hear me say it and kind of wink at your Spotify or Apple or wherever you're watching this and go, yeah. I knew it too, Frank. I knew it too. And again, the I told you so's are not necessary. But let me start with this. Yeah, let me start with this corker of a story. And I use the word corker because a cork comes out of a bottle. And what does it do? It comes out with real velocity, right? Usually goes up towards your ceiling. It could scratch your ceiling. Sometimes if you aim it in the wrong direction, you could hit your old aunt, your grandmother, maybe a family member. It's dangerous. That's why it's a corker. But from the Wall Street Journal, just a couple of days ago, I had to read it twice because I was like, wait, this is the Wall Street Journal. This is not just any publication, but a newspaper of merit. Well, it was prior to 2020. And then it went down the shithole, rabbit hole, whatever hole you wanted to go down, and it's never resurfaced. Well, now it's resurfacing. Any credibility they had, they lost. And now here's the story from a couple of days ago. I need not even read the article. Maybe I should. There's a couple of articles and things I'm going to be reading, by the way, straight out. I don't need to say anything but read the things I'm about to read on this podcast, and that's it. We have nothing to say, except maybe a smirk and a smile, and as I mentioned, I knew that. Yeah. So, exactly. From the Wall Street Journal, it's official in bold black letters. This is the heading and then the subheading I'm about to read. It's official. We can pretty much treat COVID like the flu now. Here's a guide, they say. Here's a guide. Wait. So you're going to give us a guide after so many people said what they said about it being like the flu. And then now it's official, by the way, because the Wall Street Journal has said, the credible Wall Street Journal has said, we can pretty much treat COVID like the flu. Now, here's a guide. It's like today, earlier today, I turn on the radio every now and then. Every death of a pope. The saying in Italian makes a lot more sense than saying it, translating it to English. But every death of a pope. As you know, popes, they don't die every day. So today I was turning on the radio, I tuned in, and I heard something. And listening to the radio, especially talk radio here in the Montreal area, in 2024 is like tuning in March, April, or May of 2020. It's insanity. Even their commercials that they still run. Hey, did you know? This is how they start today's commercial. Did you know that, I'm not going to get into it because I don't want to give them any, you know, promotion or publication, but it's a pharmaceutical ad, and it's like, did you know? And then they go into it, right? Whatever it is, you just have to tune into the radio to find out for yourself. But it's bizarre and awkward because who believes any of this bullshit anymore? Well, it's got to be the people, some of them my former colleagues working in those buildings that still believe this, or they don't believe it. But they just go along with it because, hey, that paycheck is really important because eventually that paycheck will end. And that's not me making that prediction, even though I made it a billion times. That's the industry telling you, broadcaster, it's coming to an end with all the... Today, there was another major radio company out west that fired a whole bunch of people in Calgary and Edmonton. I mean, this is the end, Jim Morrison wrote. Yes. It's going to be a slow death, okay? But it's coming, and it's painful. Now back to this. It's official. We can pretty much treat COVID like the flu now. Here's a guide. New guidelines from the CDC Friday bring COVID precautions in line with those of other respiratory viruses. All right? So now everything... A lot of professionals and a lot of masters in their field, doctors who were deplatformed, doctors who were unlicensed, forcibly pushed out of their medical communities, doctors who took a stand. By the way, majority of them did, as the Greeks say, tipota, nothing. Zero. They did nothing. They just stood there and pushed whatever the government wanted to push, okay? But some, they stood their ground on their own two feet. Today, they're better off for it, maybe not financially, but a lot of these people were vilified and treated like crap. And now look, 4 years later, this comes out, like everything they were saying is coming out, and no, people don't say anything. But I mean, is this, it's not only like an embarrassment. This is, it's sick. It makes me sick to my stomach. And I see all the people like myself who were talking, who were very outspoken during this time and speaking, and we were getting trashed. And by the way, I still get trashed from some absolutely incredible morons and stupid idiots who still believe a lot of this stuff, who are still standing by their convictions that I was the one, and people like me, were the ones who were bad for society, making things worse for our neighbors. All this stuff is now written in the very newspapers. These people were following a couple of years ago, like it's nothing, as I said. Nothing. Nothing. Like it never happened. But except for it did happen, and now they're pretty much acknowledging defeat. Okay, without saying it, they're making it look like, oh yeah, it's official because we say it's official. We, the Wall Street Journal, we say it's official, so it's official. kind of like the radio today when I heard, did you know? Did you know that? Oh, yeah, because the radio's saying, did you know that? That the following commercial, pharmaceutical commercial, that the radio station's getting paid tons of money by to promote whatever it is they're promoting, and because they can't get any other sponsors because radio and TV is dying a slow death, all right? They're going to take that money and mention this during their traffic reports. By the way, who still listens to traffic reports on the radio? I was like shaking my head when I heard today's traffic report, because the report, it's even worse than when I was there. It's 10 seconds. The report is 10 seconds. The sponsorship is 30 seconds. But I mean, are people like that, like out to lunch, that they can't see, that they're just using? And now the weather, even back in the day, I would say, why is the weather brought to you by people? Could like, why are we even doing weather and traffic? I said this to my program director in the 90s, and he thought I was absolutely insane. Okay, in the 90s, why they're still doing it in 2024 is because here's why. It's because they have to sell it. They sell it. In other words, sponsors come on, they buy the weather, they buy traffic. That's it. You know how many times I was told, Frank, if we didn't have to sell it, you think we would do traffic and weather? Well, if it's junk content and you're just doing it to push pharmaceutical ads, then that should tell you everything right there. You're doing it for the wrong reasons. Aha! Doing it for the wrong reasons. Exactly. That's my point. Yes. Thank you, Frank. No problem. Let's continue as I take a sip here of my water. Kinetico, amazing water, by the way. You don't need to know anything more than the fact that it's pure 99.9% water, and it's the official water here of the Drive-By Podcast. That's all I drink. That's all I give to my guests. All right, let me continue. This is the second bomb. Okay, the first one. Okay, by the way, none of these are bombs. None of these are bombshells. Nothing, but I'm just going to read something else that's you're going to be like, Okay, you're gonna sigh, you're gonna be like, exactly. This is an article written in the Globe and Mail by Wendy Mesley. Wendy Mesley was a broadcast journalist. She was on television, and she's a former anchor of CBC News. She was on The National when I believe Peter Mansbridge wasn't on The National. She was on there. She was on everywhere. Anyway, credible journalist, now does her own podcast. I'm not saying that she's fully unwoke, okay? But this article says it all. This is somebody who worked for the CBC. I don't need to go into any details on what the CBC, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation, is. If you haven't figured it out in the last couple of years, you've been living under a rock. But this is Wendy Mesley. You can't get more mainstream journalist than Wendy Mesley during the time. She writes, and what this made me feel, see, a lot of people think that people like me are the disgruntled former radio people, TV people that lost their jobs. She comes out and she says it the way it is. She writes, I'm a former anchor of the CBC News program, The National, and I have an uncomfortable confession to make. I don't watch the news. This is Wendy Mesley. She's like in the top 10 journalists Canada has had, like real journalists, before everything went to hell in a handbasket, of the last 20 years. This is really hard to say, but I don't watch The National anymore. But she hosted The National. I can't tell you the last time I watched W5. I don't get news from people who do what I used to do for a living. It's sad, but it's much more than that. I've been sitting on the sidelines as I watch people react to all the job cuts amid our shrinking media landscape. It hurts to see people I know and love lose their jobs. There's a lot of anger and disappointment over the latest layoffs at Bell. Yeah. Let me continue. I get it. W5 is the longest running investigative program in Canada. CBC could be next if Pierre Poilievre becomes prime minister and defunds it. But here's the awkward part. If everyone who is complaining about the cuts actually watched, this situation would be very different. This is Wendy Mesley still. It breaks my heart to say this, but I understand why people, this is what she's writing, but I understand why people don't watch the legacy stations anymore. By the way, if you ever use the term legacy media, you're considered a conspiracy theorist or somebody, well, in the last couple of years, or somebody like me who's disgruntled, right? And will not call it mainstream anymore because it's not mainstream. It's not mainstream. It's legacy, old media, right? This is what the term she uses too, the term I use all the time. By the way, I've always known this. Even when I was in the media, maybe we should look into doing this, but I was always program-minded because I knew it was going down the shitter. I understand why people don't watch the legacy stations anymore. If I'm being honest, the stories, tone, and presentation are just not working. I have a lot of other options and they're better. By 10 or 11 at night, I have all the information I need. We're not going back to the 60s or the 90s for that matter. It's disappointing and scary and it's beyond sad. That said, it's happening. So what are we going to do about it? A lot of people have been calling out Bell or other corporate bosses, and I'm happy to join that chorus. It's easy. It's true. They have an onus to provide quality news, and it's their responsibility in return for being given access to the airwaves. They should be made to hold up their end of the bargain. Everyone was happy when the media was making a lot of money, when people were watching. It's also true that the technology has changed things. Advertisers go where the eyeballs are. Advertising money kept traditional media alive for decades. Now the audience has splintered and gone elsewhere, and the ad money has followed. And this is true, but it's a lot more than that. The current model, she says, is not working. I don't have a magic solution, but it seems like there's a few basic considerations. How do we chase an audience? Can a large newsroom or network connect with a large Canadian audience? Can it face controversy and offer two sides on difficult decisions? And if it can, who will pay for it? Now, notice what she said. Can it offer two sides? Something that wasn't done with any of their content over the time that I always mention, a couple of years back. Okay? So there was never two sides of the story. It was always one side of the story. Well, journalism, guess what? It's always two sides of the story. But that disappeared. She says, I left CBC in 2021, and now she's doing a podcast. Who isn't? Everybody and their aunt and uncle. And I don't blame her either because I'm doing one. Writing a blog, she writes, with another well-known media personality. And I'm having the time of my life. Yes, I feel the same way. Talking to interesting people, yes. Talking and writing unfettered, which means she doesn't have an editor over her shoulder saying, you can't write that or change that. That said, it's difficult to make a living without the reach and scale of a network. Absolutely, Wendy Mesley. If this is the future of journalism, it's hard to imagine what it must be like for the 20-somethings. It's not easy, but I'm still desperate to know what's happening in the world. In my own media habits, then she continues to mention where she gets a lot of her information. Some she says she agrees with, some she doesn't, but she's going everywhere else but network television, basically. She says she remembers listening to this podcast in 2014 and thinking, wow, this is interesting. 10 years ago, okay? And didn't realize the journalistic world was about to change. While others did and went to work outside the usual network boxes, she mentions some of those examples, a lot of people basically stayed doing what they were doing in traditional media, known as legacy media. And today we basically find ourselves in this situation. So conversations, she wraps it up by saying, about the future of journalism are happening. And some people are exploring solutions. Could it be more local or more digital? Some think the answer might be the streamers, but so often they lack the rigor and integrity of legacy news. I'm not sure we can live without the foundation. Now, I agree, and I know some people who are friends of mine who are on YouTube right now presenting a different view of news, calling themselves journalists when they don't have one journalistic finger or limb or toe in their body, but they're getting tons of views. You know why? They're regular people doing regular things, saying regular things, and just reporting the things you don't hear on legacy news that you wouldn't hear on CBC, The National, or CTV, or any of these outlets. But these people that I know, and by the way, one of my friends His name is The Pleb, okay, and he's on YouTube. He was a truck driver, had zero experience. He told me, and I looked at him, I said his real name, which I'm not going to mention. I don't even know if he wants his real name out there. But I said his real name, and I said, look, I go, it's going to be hard. Okay, and he said, Frank, I've studied this, meaning YouTube, the algorithms, the thumbnails, the whatever he's doing, right? And I know the content that I have to do, and I think I could do it. I was like, good luck. 13 months later, he's probably making, and I'm not making this up, $250,000 a year. He gets crazy views. It's presented in the most basic form. He will be the first to admit to you he's not the smartest guy out there. I'm going to be honest. As a program director, if I was a program director in radio or a news director, I'd be watching this guy going, how is a guy who drove a truck and has zero journalistic integrity able to pull in those numbers? But somebody like Wendy Mesley is admitting in this article that she can't make money doing what she's doing, even though she's having the time of her life. And I'll be the first to admit, doing my podcast here took me 172 episodes, sponsors off out of the gate, and the sponsors disappeared. Then I had to work hard and have one occasionally here and there popping in and out, people supporting me who I'll never forget for supporting me, and the people who have been here listening every day. It took a long time. And now the podcasting sponsors that I have realize that, yeah, I don't have the audience that, and this is what some morons don't get. It's like, look at Frank now, he's doing a podcast, I've been insulted so many times. I do my gig that I do, hosting a game show, it's like, look where he's been, where he's at and all that, but things are great. I'm having the time of my life, and then finally now I have my sponsors here supporting me, and what the sponsors have realized is that when I tell people, you need to get a custom cake, go to Les Delices La Fronette. Guess where they go? If I tell people you're looking to have a great meal, which is still affordable, you get tons of food, and it's not going to clip your wallet like some places, and you're going to have Louisiana-type food in Montreal, go to Baton Rouge. People go. I'm telling you, I get messages all the time. People show me pictures, and then I screenshot it. And I'll send it to the marketing team over at Baton Rouge. Sometimes I forget, okay? But I get a lot of messages from people. But even if 5 people go, or 10 people go, or whatever amount of people go, the messaging is there. Cakes, desserts, it's Les Delices La Fronette. Ribs, steaks, nights out on the town and drinks with your coworkers or friends. Weekends with the family, it's Baton Rouge. And people are starting to figure it out. That a guy on the radio or a woman on the radio who nobody connects with, that nobody, like the person talks like any other person, it's vanilla. This is not, I'm Neapolitan, even though I'm not Neapolitan. My mom's from Milano, my dad's from Bari. But I'm Neapolitan ice cream. There's a lot of flavors that come out of me. You never know what you're going to get. And I am who I am. These people are vanilla. And they're the Starbucks brand. I don't think Starbucks is going to, the very woke Starbucks is going to come and sponsor my podcast. Highly unlikely, okay? And even so, no. I am not the Starbucks coffee of podcasting. I'm not. What I'm getting at here is that there is value when people like me speak and say, because they know I'm being authentic. They know I'm not a freaking bullshitter. They know I go down with my ship. If I'm captain of my ship and my ship happens to be the Titanic, well, it's women and children first, and I'm going down. The same way I stayed true to myself during 2020 and 21 and 22 and said what I said and took the shit in heat, and I'll do it again. So Wendy Mesley is facing a reckoning. Her former medium, broadcast journalism, is facing a reckoning. And these are her words. It's time to stop complaining and figure out how we fix it, and then maybe I'll start watching again, she says. A beautifully written article that I had to read. I don't remember the last time I've quoted articles, but I don't remember the last time I read through an entire opinion piece by Wendy Mesley or by anybody. But I had to write it because you can't get more everyday journalist than her. In her prime, she was it. We are at a crossroads. We passed the crossroads a long time ago. We're past, way past, we are at a crossroads. We're not at a crossroads, okay? It's way in the back. You're looking at the rearview mirror, you don't see it anymore. It's over. I tell former colleagues of mine who don't talk to me for whatever reason, the ones that do, I tell them, it's over. It ended years ago. Start preparing for your end. I had another friend of mine I formerly worked with. He quit. He resigned from his position in radio because he also sees where this is going. It's not a good place. So before they're going to tell him, we're going to take you out, he took himself out. I respect that 100%. Other people, they need livelihood. They need checks. They need to get paid. I get why some are still there. I understand. All right. They're just riding it for as long as they can. But my issue is when you're riding it for as long as you can, but the things that they're telling you to say and do go against who you are as a person and you're still there collecting a paycheck, I wouldn't be there. I always said if March 2020 came along and I was let go about 8 months before the whole COVID fiasco happened, but if I were still there and I was forced to do anything, take anything, I wouldn't be there anyway. I wouldn't, because that's who I am. This is my foundation. This is what I'm built on, man. I am who I am. And I'm a rock, and you're not going to take me down no matter what. And I believe that everyone listening to this podcast is of the same mind, body, soul, and heart. We have heart, we have body, we have similar minds, we have similar souls. That's why we have found ourselves here on the Drive-By Podcast, because we need people like us to stand up and say, this is a load of crap, and I'll be doing this instead. And we need each other and we need support, because there are days when we wake up, and I know you have these days when you read articles like this, hence why I read the Wall Street Journal story and then the Wendy Mesley opinion piece and see this, and there's a part of me that wants to like lose my mind and snap, but I don't. I realize I won a long time ago. That's when we won, a lot of us won. The ones that didn't, but I have been awakened and opened their eyes, now see it, that's fine too. And there are people that will never see it. And I guess that's fine too. They're just not part of my group and circle, because those people are way past the point of no return. Here's another prediction, another bombshell, but it's not really a bombshell. Again, anybody, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to figure this out. There are so many people that I've had conversations with in the last year who predicted Trump would be removed from pretty much all national ballots. He wouldn't be able to run based on his 91 indictments. I've lost track. I don't know how many indictments this guy has. And look, I'm not saying he's the most innocent, you know, politician, even though he's not really a politician, but let's just call him that for the sake of calling him that, that has ever been president, okay? But there's corruption in the Bush family. There's corruption, you name the family, the Clintons and all that. I'm never going to sit here and pretend like Trump is the only bad guy out there. There's a lot of bad people out there that twist and turn things. At least he's clear about it. At least he's, when he tells you he's cheating the tax code, he's telling you because he goes, well, that's the tax code, the way it's made, and I'm smart for using it that way. And so you got to respect the fact that he's honest about being deceptive, if that makes any sense. But anyway, Donald Trump, former president of the United States, the Supreme Court of the United States has ruled, okay, that Donald Trump will be eligible to be on all ballots, all major ballots across the United States for the upcoming November election. This drove CNN, any of those MSNBC, all those outlets, they were hyper tilted earlier today. But again, you could see this coming. And by the way, this is the Supreme Court. The same way our highest court here in Canada ruled the use of the Emergencies Act as unconstitutional and an abuse of power just a couple of weeks back. And you have to be okay with your highest court making these decisions. In this case, I believe 5 of them are conservative, 4 are Democrats or something like that. Okay, but they're not all Democrats. They're not all conservative. Whatever it is, it could be the other way around. But my whole point of mentioning this is The Supreme Court, it could have gone 8-1, could have gone 6-2, could have gone 5-4, could have gone the other way. 9-0. 9-0 in favor of Trump being on the ballot. What else do I have to say? Like the song, We Didn't Start the Fire. There you have it. This is monumental. President Trump will be on the ballot this year, which brings him that much closer to being reelected. There are rumors that the Democrats will be pushing out the frail Joe Biden and have somebody be running instead of him to give them a chance to beat Donald Trump, because right now all the polls are suggesting that Trump would win again. After his defeat in 2020, this time he would win, and rather bigly he would win. But that's his word, not mine. So there you go. That's a big revelation today. But again, was it really a bomb? That's my third bomb. But was it really? I've been saying this for so long to anyone that would listen.
You cannot take somebody out of a race. The voters can take the person out of the race very quickly. But a court shouldn't be doing that. And the Supreme Court saw that very well. And I really do believe that will be a unifying factor, because while most states were thrilled to have me, there were some that didn't, and they didn't want that for political reasons. They didn't want that because of poll numbers, because the poll numbers are very good. We're beating President Biden in almost every poll.
There is no way that the Supreme Court of the United States, because if the United States had gone the other way, the Supreme Court had gone the other way, you're basically not allowing a competitor, former president, to be on the ballot. I mean, this is the United States is ruled by their constitution. It's the freest country in the world. And what kind of message would that send to its people and to people around the world? It was a slippery slope to begin with. And the fact it went 9-0 says it all. That bombshell, even though it's not really a bombshell. That does it for episode 172 of the Drive-By Podcast. It is sponsored by Les Délices Lafrenais, simplement délicieux. Go to lesdelicelafrenais.com to order your theme cake. Work with a designer if you're getting married later on this year. They'll make a beautiful wedding cake for you. 5 locations in Montreal: St. Leonard, Rosemere, Pointe Claire, Montreal West, and my home location in Brossard. It's Les Délices Lafrenais. Looking for a great place to bring your family or head over with coworkers, even to the downtown Montreal location, newly expanded and renovated restaurant Complexe Desjardins on St. Catherine? It's Baton Rouge Grill House and Bar. How about this for some appies? Of course, their signature spinach dip, can't beat it. Garlic bread au gratin, tempura shrimp. They have the grilled octopus. I mean, if you're a bunch of people, you could order all of these together, including their steak tartare, or enjoy a nice ribeye. You could also enjoy filet mignon or any of the steaks they have, including their incredible hamburger. I love Baton Rouge Grill House and Bar. Find out where the closest one to you is by going to batonrouge.ca. If you enjoyed listening to this podcast, please 5-star it on Spotify. Very important that you do that, or review or comment. It helps the podcast in the rankings on Apple as well. Also, you can check out any of the past episodes on YouTube by going to the Drive-By Podcast page over there. And I'm Freeway Frank, and we'll catch you again for the Thursday edition of the pod. Thanks so much for listening in. Ciao for now.
The Drive-By with Freeway Frank.
The Drive-By Podcast, brought to you by OwnSpace.